People do bad things because they've convinced themselves that that bad thing is either good or necessary. So what could be the logic behind someone convincing themselves that cheating on their significant other is a good idea? Could it be possible that there's a justifiable reason to step out on your significant other? In this episode, I sit down with to talk about his train of thought that led him to cheating on his then-girlfriend. Welcome to Forbidden Fruit Podcast, where each episode will awaken you to the knowledge of a better you through insightful discussion and shared experiences that instantaneously changed our lives. Don't forget to follow or subscribe, leave a review, as well as turn on your notifications so you'll know when new episodes are available. Be sure to listen to the end so you don't miss when reveals the real reason he cheated on his then-girlfriend. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
Nick, yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Cool, man. So this is unique. This is going to be a pretty unique episode. So what we're going to talk about is a time where you cheated on a significant other. And we'll talk about the relationship, what was going on that caused you to make that decision to do so.
Yeah. So as we discussed earlier, I think a lot of people have either cheated or been cheated on. And a lot of people like to tell the story of when they were a victim of infidelity, but I'm here to just kind of give you my perception of being the bad guy in the relationship.
Okay. So let's start off with the relationship. So tell me about how long you were together. How did you meet? Like, how serious was it?
It was a pretty serious relationship. I think that we met when we were very young, and it was a young relationship where we were still both figuring out who we were as people. And I think that is a big factor in a lot of relationships that have infidelity in them, as a lot of them are very immature relationships.
How old were you?
But we were together for 6 years, and we met when I was 19 and she was 18.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So would you say that you weren't ready for any kind of serious relationship at that age?
Absolutely, yeah. You think you are, right? Because when you're 18, you think you know everything. And I definitely didn't, but I thought I was grown and I knew what a relationship was, and I just didn't have the life lessons to really treat her with the respect that she deserved, really.
Okay. So then let's talk about it then. So what made you think it was what was your perception of a serious relationship at that time?
I think when you are, in your late teens, early 20s, you don't ever plan on getting into a serious relationship. You're not making cognitive decisions to pursue a serious relationship. You just start hanging out with someone, you get physical with them, you spend more and more time with them, and then before you know it, you're exclusive to one another and you've moved into a house together, an apartment at that point in time. And then you're thinking, well, hey, I'm living with this girl or this other person. This is a serious relationship, but you've never actually decided that you wanted to move forward towards the next steps. They just happen.
So you were just going with the flow, not necessarily having intentions to get to this point.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So then let's dive into it then. The moment of truth. So where were you in that relationship during that time frame of when you cheated?
Well, first of all, and no one likes admitting this, but it wasn't as though I made a mistake in the relationship one time and that was it. And I did everything I could to bring it back, and I just had made a mistake. I think that people do make mistakes. I didn't cheat. I was a cheater. I was a liar consistently.
Gotcha. Right? Okay.
So it's not so much about the moment when I decided to cheat or anything like that. It was just who I was and the dishonest person that I was in this relationship.
Okay. Interesting. So then let's start off with like what caused you to cheat in this particular situation, and then let's take a step back and look at like why you feel like you were, or what it is that made you a cheater, or what contributed to you living that lifestyle.
Yeah, I think that initially I felt disrespected in the relationship. And that's when I kind of put up my defenses and decided, well, I don't really trust you and I don't feel respected by you. I'm going to do what I want to do. And it may at the time have been kind of a lie to myself to tell myself that I'm better than this, when in reality, I was just protecting myself by doing hurtful things behind her back, right?
So what did she do? Like, so let's talk about it. Like, what did she do to disrespect you? And then what was like that thing right before you went off and like cheated? Like, what happened?
So again, it wasn't that abrupt. It was more of a gradual transition. But just to give you an example, so when we first started dating, I was fresh in the Army, right? Young guy in the Army. She was 18. I was 19. And I had got sent off to a 3-week training in Fort Hunter Liggett, California. And we didn't have any cell phone reception or anything like that. So there's no contact in the relationship. And at the time, we had only been seeing each other. We had known each other for about 6 months to a year, but we'd only been seeing each other seriously for maybe like 2 or 3 weeks. So we were dating for 2 or 3 weeks, and then I disappear for 2 or 3 weeks. And when I come back, I had discovered that she was chatting to other guys while I was gone. Now, in hindsight and as an adult, that's expected. It's an 18-year-old girl that barely is in a relationship and you leave for 3 weeks, that kind of stuff happens. But I felt so disrespected and so betrayed by it that I just kind of decided, well, if you're not going to be serious and I can't trust you, I'm going to do what I want when I have the opportunity to do so. And as the relationship progressed, I just kind of got deeper and deeper into that mindset to where there was no loyalty there. And when I did have desires and temptations, as all adults do, right? Let's recognize that all adults have temptations to be unfaithful, but I did not have any boundaries or barriers to stop myself when those opportunities presented themselves.
Okay. That's fair. So then let's kind of take a step back then. So let me ask you this question. Then after you cheated, like, was there ever like a, like, oh man, I shouldn't have done this? Was it kind of like any like post nut clarity at all afterwards?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If you are a human and you tell yourself that you don't feel guilt, you're lying to yourself. Either that or you don't care about the person you're with. There's absolutely guilt.
So then what would you do after that? Would you kind of just like ignore how you felt, or would you just go like, just kind of go with the flow, or try to make it up to her, or try to make yourself feel better about what you had did?
I mean, she didn't know about most of it, because again, if you're a cheater, you're probably a liar too. If you're a cheater and you're honest, you only cheat one time. Okay. But if you're a cheater and you're a liar, you'll continue to cheat. And I'd lie to myself just like I'd lie to her. I'd feel awful and be like, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm gonna bury it. I'm never going to tell her about it, and I'm never going to say anything again. And for those of you that are listening that think you can bury dishonesty like that and it's never going to dig its way out of the grave, you're wrong. It will come back and it will get you one way or another. I promise you.
Okay. Perfect. So then with that, so what do you attribute you being a cheater, like feeling the need to lie and do these things? Because you said you said you didn't just cheat. You said you were a cheater. So was that was it insecurity? Was it like childhood stuff? Like, what contributed to you becoming that person?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I would say that 99% of the time when someone cheats, it has nothing to do with the other person, right? And if it does, you don't have the courage to bring forth whatever your issue is and talk to them about it. So it was personal insecurity. I was, you know, as I said, at 19, I thought I had the world together, but realistically, I was a very insecure, broken young man still trying to find myself. And that ultimately is what caused me to cheat. It's because I was protecting myself and trying to validate myself as someone that was worthwhile, when in reality, I was the one that didn't feel worthwhile. And that's why I sought attention and I sought, extracurricular love so that I could feel better about myself at the expense of her feelings, right?
So do you think you could have, but could you have gotten that? Could you, so what kept you from breaking up with her and then just like doing your thing? Like what kept you from just breaking up with her and then being out there? Cause it seems like that kind of attention was almost like your drug, like your vice.
100%. And I know a lot of people still as an adult that are, you know, well into their 30s that still have that vice. But yeah, it was the same thing. It was insecurity. So I was too insecure to commit and be vulnerable and put my neck out there to make the relationship work. But I was also too insecure to leave and be by myself. So it sounds bad, and it is.
So it's a fear of being alone. Okay. So, okay. It's interesting. So then let me ask you this question, because I know you and you're a good friend of mine. So it's like, now I know that you're not the kind of person to do these things. So what was then the turning point for you to, I guess, overcome these insecurities or like shed this persona of, hey, I need to cheat or I need to do this to make myself feel better about me?
I was fortunate enough to have probably the best thing that could ever happen to me in my life happen, and that was get a hard taste of my own medicine. So I had gotten in a relationship after that with a girl I was head over heels in love with and was really committed to, and she had treated me just as I had treated the previous girl, and it set me straight. So now I know what I'm about. And I think that everyone, if you do struggle with infidelity or you do struggle with being faithful, whether it's actual physical cheating or just receiving attention from people, get a taste of your own medicine and that'll do it for you.
Okay. So then let's dive into that then. So how did you meet this woman? Like, how did it get to, how did you fall in love or fall for her so hard? And then we can talk about what happened thereafter.
Sure. Ironically enough, no surprise, right? I actually met this woman while I was still with the previous girl, right? So I was working with her on a job, and we would just kind of go into work, flirt with each other. We weren't, you know, nothing physical. We weren't doing anything that you could say was textbook cheating, but I was emotionally cheating on my girlfriend. I was going in and I was, you know, flirting with this girl, and she was flirting with me back, and she had a long-term boyfriend too. So we were both in this ship together, right? And then eventually, as my relationship started, my relationship that I was in started to kind of plummet, I reached out, and I instead of jumping into the water, I just jumped from one ship to the next ship. And that ship eventually sank anyway. So.
Okay. So then what did she say was her reason? Like, so is that, do you feel like the fact that you were in these bad relationships or in the relationships that you were in, did you bond over that? Or did you feel like you both were kind of supplementing, I guess, self-esteem that you guys were missing?
We were both compensating for self-esteem. The girl that I had gone to that eventually cheated on me, I hope that she's doing well, and I hope that everything's working out for her. But I can tell you that if I was a broken, insecure person, she was more broken and more insecure, and she had to compensate for quite a bit. And I don't know, I think those were more childhood issues and trauma that she went through. But going through that, I could see some of myself in her when she was being dishonest, and starting to slowly understand they had nothing to do with me. It was about the issues that she had with herself.
So then did you feel like you ignored the like signs that should have said, hey, you know, you probably shouldn't be doing this, outside of like cheating on your then girlfriend?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there wasn't a red flag. There was a street of red flags and flashing stop signs and, you know, people shooting fireworks off telling me that there's danger up ahead. And I just blew right by them.
So let's talk about, give me a couple of them. Like, what was the two of the biggest red flags or warning shots, you could say, that you ignored during that time? And then we talk about, again, what made you overlook them?
Well, first of all, if you meet someone when they're with someone else, and they are being unfaithful to that person to be with you, they are an unfaithful person.
That is fair. That is fair. Facts. All right. And then what was the other one? Other than the obvious,
She was obsessed with her looks. So she was a bodybuilder, a pretty good bodybuilder, actually.
Interesting.
And there's nothing wrong with bodybuilding, right? I know a lot of good people in bodybuilding, but she did it because she was obsessed with the way she looked. She had struggled with eating disorders in the past, which if you struggle with that, please go get help. And she was obsessed and critical, and she criticized herself on her looks on a daily basis. And that was a huge red flag.
So then, but that's an insecurity though too. So I guess talking to you, it seems like unaddressed insecurities lead to red flags. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
Okay. So then let's get into it. Like, so what happened? How did she cheat on you? How did you find out? And then at the end, like, what was that critical like moment, like that bite of the apple moment where it was like, all right, I shouldn't, like, this is what I make my ex feel like. Like, let me change who I am or grow from this situation.
It was an immediate lesson that got drug out way too long, to be honest with you. So she was she was quite the manipulator, and she was good at it. She was very smart. And so I had not only, I had left this 6-year relationship, which I had essentially broken myself with this woman, right? And I started seeing this woman and fell in love with her. And then some hardships in life hit. I changed careers. I had gone from the Army to the Air Force. So I'd lost kind of a community. I didn't really lose them, but I was no longer in a community I was used to. My father got diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. So we found out that he was probably going to pass soon. So I was in this spot of hardship where I was really struggling with myself as a human. And I was leaning on her for that support, leaning on her for that validation to get me through these times. I had flown down to Florida to see my father because he was sick. And then when I flew back, it was around Christmas time, I had discovered that she had slept with her ex-boyfriend, the one she had cheated on, or the one that she had cheated on with me emotionally, so to speak. And that really just kicked all that support out from under me, and it just crushed me. And I immediately thought, my first thought was, so this is how I treated the woman that was with initially. This is what it feels like. And right then I decided, I'm not going to do that again.
Okay. I love that. I love that perspective. So then how would you, so looking back at it all, like what advice would you give yourself back then? Like the mature, you know, now, like how would you talk to 18, 19 year old, and how would you mentor that person that's about to enter this, that's in a relationship with his then girlfriend, that's about to enter into another, possibly another relationship or cheating on his girlfriend?
I would say that if you find something valuable, value it. And if you can't value it, leave it alone, because you'll find something valuable down the road. Let someone else appreciate it for what it is if you're not able to do so.
That's dope. So we're gonna circle back one more time, and then I'll give you the floor to kind of give everyone like that bite of the apple moment that everyone can take with from this episode. So you mentioned before that the woman that cheated on you had an insecurity about how she looked. So I've dated women that had insecurities about how they looked. And I feel like everyone has, at some point in their life, insecurities about their look. I mean, for me, like, I felt like I was ugly for the majority of my life, right? And even with social media, I mean, that's all you see are filters, like new ways of like contouring your face, like surgeries, like BBLs is the most dangerous surgical procedure there is. However, people are willing to risk their lives for a certain appearance, right? So let me kind of tap into that a little bit. So do you feel like social media culture, this vanity culture, is possibly contributing to maybe the difficulties in dating today? If you feel like that was one of the issues that you had with her.
Absolutely. If you don't think that the disease, and it is a disease of attention that we're cultivating with social media, is affecting the dating scene, then you're not, you know, you're just turning a blind eye to it. These people, these influencers, or not even influencers, just everyday people, are creating a person online that they are not actually in reality. They don't look like that in reality. They don't go to, you know, Aruba on a daily basis. They're not going out to $200 dinners on a daily basis. They don't look perfect in every photo, but that is the presentation that they are giving the world. And so as a young man or a young woman, if you're going online and you have insecurities, because every human does, I do, you do, everybody does, and you're seeing these perfect people, all your friends are just these perfect people, you begin to feel much worse about yourself if you don't realize that that is not real. Those are not real people. That is not real life. It is a presentation of what they want you to perceive.
I saw that's a great point. So I saw a video on Instagram where it talked about this, the longest study known to man. And they followed these people throughout their lives. And they said that the one thing that that directly affects the quality of life, from health, longevity, like peace, all of that, is like the depth, the connection of relationships. And so I guess my concern is that we're losing sight of that, or losing our ability to, one, be social, because we're all, and you know, all constantly in our phones. Ghosting is a huge thing, right? Like not necessarily talking through issues and stuff like that. So I feel like that is a that is where we're heading as a people because of that social media culture, right? Like not being able to connect with people on a deeper level.
Yeah. And one thing I'd like to point out, Nick, is that there seems to be a kind of a culture or a perception within society, especially dating right now, that if you are quick to block someone or you are quick to give up on someone or cheat on someone, it's perceived as strength. But that's bullshit. Okay. That means that's weakness. That's not strength. If you are strong, then you will communicate with whoever you care about the truth. And that may mean that you're being vulnerable. Vulnerability takes strength. But if you run away from everything and you treat people like trash, that is not strength. That is weakness. And I think that's a huge problem in today's society.
Okay. So then let's lean into that then. Because I learned about vulnerability maybe in 2016, 17. And so I listened to this audio by Brené Brown. It's called The Power of Vulnerability. If you guys get download the app Audible and listen to that. And it completely like blew my mind as to why I couldn't connect with anyone or I didn't have any meaningful relationships, why I didn't love myself at the time. It just completely blew my mind. So now with your understanding of what vulnerability is through these experiences that you've had when it comes to dating in your past, then what is your approach now to dating? How do you navigate that world where it may be a little bit more difficult than usual to make connections? Like, how are you going through dating and relationships now and identifying the people you want to be with?
Well, now that we're speaking about vulnerability, I think that vulnerability is absolutely one of the most important qualities you can bring to a relationship. I base my entire relationships off of two things, and then all the subcategories of a good relationship I feel fall under two things, and this is just my personal opinion. The first thing is honesty, and the second thing is respect. If you can give your partner honesty and you can truly respect them, everything else will fall in line. You'll be vulnerable, you'll be loyal, you'll have a healthy relationship, you'll communicate if you truly are honest with them and you truly respect them. So that's how I like to approach my relationships now.
So how have you seen that? Like, so what has that yielded in the relationships once you started to apply those principles? Like, how have your relationships now contrasted how they did and before?
From my perspective, success, right? I've seen successful relationships from my perspective in the choices that I made because I showed honesty and respect. Unfortunately, that takes two people to exhibit those qualities. And with all the broken people that we just talked about in today's culture, where they're following Instagram and they need to be liked, and they don't have those securities and they don't have that understanding of what characteristics it takes to build a healthy relationship, you may not get that in return. And that's what vulnerability is you may give honesty and respect and you may not get that in return. And so you're not always going to find success in the relationship, but you will leave the relationship being happy with yourself and being confident that you're going to find something better.
Yeah, I love that. So it was I did an episode on love. It's called The Knowledge of Love. And my perspective of love is accepting despite what you may get or may not get out of it. So hearing that, in my mind, it seems like your capacity to love people is increased, right? So you can do those things. You can be honest. You can respect people. And if it's not returned, like, it's fine. But you're still, it doesn't, you don't then, I'm assuming you don't then take that experience and then project it on the next person and making them pay for, all right, well, I can't be honest with you because this person did this to me and that person did this to me. You can just continue to, you know, be open and love and be honest and respect people continually as a result of just being who you are. Is that fair?
Absolutely. And I think that I have personally experienced a relationship where I got the back end of someone else's bad relationship. And I got the consequences from someone else that got hurt. And you see it a lot. They say hurt people, right? And that's true. But if you can get hurt, if you get hurt and then you turn it around and you hurt the next person, you are not only sabotaging them, you are sabotaging yourself. So until you are ready, if you get hurt, you need to deal with it. You need to recover. And then when you are ready, you can start dating and start connecting again. But if you hurt a person down the road, it's going to come back and bite you. So don't be a victim of your own self-sabotage.
It's almost like you're contributing to the thing that you despise in a way, right? Like, I mean, this person hurt me, so then I'm going to like muck up the water when it comes to somebody that's actually trying to, you know, get to know me genuinely, etc. Right?
Right. Exactly. You think you're protecting yourself, but you're really gonna hurt yourself more in the long run.
I even think like down the road, like as a collective, right? If I'm hurt because someone did this to me, and then I go out and hurt somebody else, and this I'm making it harder for, you know, people to connect, because everyone is projecting these bad experiences on each other as opposed to just growing through the situation instead of just going through the situation.
Right. It's kind of funny because they say, you know, people say like, don't go find, you know, a girlfriend or a wife at a bar or in the club scene or the going out scene, because what I have noticed is if you go to certain areas to pursue finding someone, it's just a bunch of hurt people dating each other.
Right.
So
that's facts, yeah. Man. So the theme of the show, well, the name of the show is Forbidden Fruit Podcast. So whenever I have a guest on, before I end, I always want to have some, I want you to drop like that bite of the apple moment, right? Like that eureka, you bite into the apple and you instantly become knowledgeable or understand this thing, right? So what would you want anyone that's listening to this podcast to instantly understand or walk away from your experience?
Karma is real, and it's not a mythological energy that magically circles back around to you. They're consequences of your action. It's a chain consequences of your actions. If you treat people with love, honesty, and respect, you will receive love, honesty, and respect. If you treat people with dishonesty and disrespect and unfaithfulness, you're going to get the same thing that's going to come right back around to you.
Man, I honestly do appreciate you taking the time to record this episode. And above all, man, thank you for your honesty, right? Thank you for your vulnerability. Especially from a social media standpoint, you see a lot of people always talking about how they got cheated on, etc. But you rarely see anyone actually say, hey, this is what I did. I was wrong. And this is what I learned from it. So thank you so much for taking the time to break that down with me and being open with me and as well as the audience.
Of course, Nick. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime. Hey, this is Nick Moore, your host. I understand that time is life, which is why I'm so grateful that you would take the time to listen to the Forbidden Fruit podcast. It's something that I don't take lightly. If you've enjoyed what you've heard so far, please share this with a friend. You can also show your support by downloading, following, or subscribing to the podcast, as well as leaving a review on Apple Podcast. Don't forget to turn on your notifications so you don't miss an episode. Find me on Instagram at podcast_fruit. I will love to hear from you. And like always, until then, be tempted.